Chapter 4. Sunday, September 30th.
Nate, 12:30 p.m. My probation officer, Officer Lopez, comes every week. She's okay, I guess. Today, everything goes as usual. She asks me about school, and I don't tell her much. But then she asks when Simon's funeral is. In about half an hour, I say. Nate, you should go. No thanks. Okay, she says. I'll say that a different way. Go to the funeral, or you'll be in trouble with me. And that is why I'm at Simon's funeral with my probation officer. We're late, and the church is full, and part of the reason it's full is that there are lots of police officers. I can see them staring at Bronwyn with her parents, and at Cooper and Addie and me. A few people talk about Simon, but the only one I recognize is Janae, the goth girl who reads a weird poem with her voice shaking. As Officer Lopez and I are leaving, one of the police officers says, Nate McCauley, can you come with me to the police station?
Addie, 2:05 p.m. Outside of the church after the funeral, a woman in a blue suit speaks to me. I'm Detective Wheeler, Addie. Could you come to the station with me, please? Jake comes to stand beside me, smiling at her. She tells him she wants to talk to me about Simon's death. Sure, he says. Text me afterward, Addie, and I'll drive you home. I follow the detective to the police station, although I don't want to. Ashton says I don't think for myself, and maybe this is what she means. We sit at a table in a small room. Detective Wheeler introduces me to a woman who's there, because there has to be an adult to help me. Then she tells me I don't have to answer her questions, and I can leave at any time. I understand, I say, not really understanding at all. Good, she says. I want to show you something. There's a laptop on a table that she turns toward me. On the screen, I can see the logo for About That. This is the admin screen Simon used to manage posts, she says. And these are the latest ones. This is the first time that Good Girl BR has been mentioned on About That. She's a great student, but she didn't get that A in chemistry with hard work. Unless you think it's hard work to steal tests from Mr. C's computer. Someone call Yale, ... It's sad to see our favorite criminal, NM, is doing what he does best again. Selling drugs to all at Bayview who want them. We're sure his probation officer will be interested. CC will do great things in baseball one day. But don't they have some strict rules against taking drugs to improve your game? Because CC definitely had help during the showcases. AP and JR are the perfect couple, except AP had a really nice time last summer with TF. Of course, TF and JR are friends. Do you think they talk to each other? I can't breathe. Everyone will know. And Jake will never forgive me. Then, I realize what Detective Wheeler is saying. We understand that you wouldn't want this to be published, Daddy. If you tell us what happened, we can help you. It hasn't been published? I ask. No, she says. As you can see, these posts are about the four of you who were in the room with Simon when he died. Each of you had a reason to want Simon dead. And you lied about being in the nurse's office on the day he died, Addie. Was that because you took the EpiPens so Simon would die? She sounds friendly, but she isn't. I managed to say, I'm going to leave now. Of course, she says, I don't mind. But remember that I can't help you if you don't talk to me now. When I get outside, I'm shaking. A detective has just accused me of murder, and I wish I could call Jake, but I can't. I call my sister.
Cooper, 2:30 p.m. When Detective Chang shows me Simon's unpublished About That posts, I'm shocked by what they say about Bronwyn, but not surprised about Nate. I don't know who TF is. My heart is jumping before I look at the bit about me, but after I read it, it slows down. That's not what I expected. Although it's not surprising because I did improve too quickly. When he tells me that they know Simon was killed by one or all of us, I realize that I need help. And not from the man in the room Detective Chang calls my interested adult. I don't want to call my father, but I do. My father gets angry straight away, as I knew he would. He tells me that I mustn't say anything until I get a lawyer. And he tells me to leave. I didn't realize I could leave.
Bronwyn, 3:07 p.m. At first, I'm pleased my parents are with me when I'm asked to go to the police station. But when they read I cheated, it's terrible. They are so disappointed in me when I tell them it's true. Being a success because of hard work is so important to them. Dad has made lots of money running his own business. And Mom is a doctor who's so successful that she can't take any more patients. Since the post about me is true, I guess the ones about the others are too. When the detective asks, did you have any reason beyond this one to dislike Simon? I say no. My parents have just learned I'm a cheat. And now they're hearing me lying.
Nate, 5:15 p.m. Officer Lopez is angry with me. If she hadn't helped me at the police station, I could have been in jail now because of selling drugs. But back at home, she says, if you ever sell drugs again, Nate, I can't help you. This is serious. Murder is a capital offense. All the others have parents who care about them and have money to pay lawyers. You are the obvious scapegoat. Do you understand? I do. In the evening, I get on my bike. I tell myself I don't know where I'm going, but soon I'm outside of Bronwyn's house. Her rich-looking father comes out saying, Nate, right? I'm afraid you can't be here. I'm sure you don't want me to call the police. He doesn't want me anywhere near his daughter. Of course. I'm the scapegoat.
Addie, 5:30 p.m. Ashton takes me to a restaurant. Charlie is away, climbing with friends. He's a lawyer, and she says she'll ask him for the name of a lawyer for me. Mom's phone goes to voicemail all the time. I tell Ashton about me and TJ. Addie, you've got to tell Jake what happened, she says. The post isn't there now, I say. People always hear gossip. You know that. You must tell Jake yourself. While Ashton is driving me to his house, I text Jake to tell him I'm coming round. I don't know how long I'll be, I say to Ashton when we get there. I'll wait. Jake's mother opens the door. She's the kind of woman my mother wants to be. She had a great job, but she doesn't need to work now because she has a handsome, successful husband. Hi, Addie, she says. I'm going out, but Jake's downstairs. He's lying across the enormous sofa. Hey, baby, he says. How did it go? Not good, I say. And I start shaking. Jake tries to pull me onto the sofa next to him, but I sit opposite him, saying, I think I should sit here while I tell you this. You're scaring me, he says. The police think we put peanut oil in Simon's water to kill him because he was going to post information about us. You're joking, says Jake. I'm not. Go on, he says. My heart is beating so hard, I think I'm going to die. At the end of school last year, when you were on holiday, I got drunk with TJ, and I'm crying now. And I slept with him. I'm sorry, Jake. I made a stupid, horrible mistake, and I'm so, so sorry. Jake doesn't say anything for a minute. Then he says in an icy cold voice, You're sorry. That's all right, then. Then he jumps up and starts punching the wall. You jumped into bed with some guy who's probably been laughing at me for months behind my back. Why did you do it? I treated you like a queen. I was drunk. I was stupid. I don't feel confident about myself. I made a mistake, Jake. I love you. I'd do anything to fix it. I put my head in my hands. Jake's handsome face that I've loved for so long is horrible to look at. You've ruined everything. You know that. I know. Get out, he shouts. I'm not sure how I get out of the house and into Ashton's car. I thought it might be like that, she says, seeing my face.